Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
You know, I think about Solomon's temple and how splendor and grand it was when he built it. It was so grand that when the children of Israel got out of captivity, they came back to lay the foundation for the new temple, that the old folks literally wept because it was not going to be anything compared to what Solomon's temple was that they built. But the young folks rejoiced because they had the opportunity to build a temple for God. But you know, at the beginning of that temple, we find that when it was all complete, that they sacrificed oxen. We talked about it this morning a little bit in Sunday school class. But one of the things, when they put the offering and the sacrifice, God from heaven sent fire down and consumed that sacrifice. And at that very moment, then the Shekinah glory started to shine in the temple. The Shekinah glory was seen behind the veil. The temple had three spots. It had the outer court, the holy, and then the most holy. And in the most holy, is behind the veil, was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, which actually represents Christ. And the Shekinah glory would just shine up in the middle of that room. And only the priest could go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he had to be atoned for himself before he could go into the presence of God. But what I'm getting at this morning is the fact that when that temple was set there, God said, "I will be there as long as you stay with me. I will show my presence there as long as you worship me. I will be there as long as you serve me and not the gods of the land. My presence will be in this house." And Solomon wrote the prayer that if I look toward that house and pray, that you would answer the prayers. That's what Daniel was doing when he prayed three times a day. He was looking toward Jerusalem because of what God had said about the land. And so I think about the presence in the temple of God right there. But generations would pass, decades would pass, and we find a priest named Eli, and he became the priest, and his boys were boys of the world, preacher's kids, some of them. And they were having affairs with women, and they were taking bribes on offerings and different things like that. And we know Samuel came along, that Hannah brought him in and dedicated him to the Lord, and God started to speak to Samuel. But one day there was a battle, and Israel was losing, and they thought they'd go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it out for a lucky charm. Can I tell you, God doesn't do lucky charms. They lose the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines. But at that very moment, Eli's daughter daughter-in-law was expecting a child, and she came due to birth. When she heard the news that her husband and brother-in-law had been killed in the fight and the Ark of the Covenant was lost, at that very moment we find that she went into labor due to the stress, and she died in that labor. But before she breathed her last breath, she named him Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. What happened to that beautiful place that the presence of God once dwelled in was now absence of the manifestation of God. God's everywhere, don't get me wrong, but his manifestation comes in certain places. And therefore the temple was nothing more than a beautiful looking building. Can I say this morning, what good is a building without the presence of God? What good is a building that costs millions of dollars without the presence of God in the midst of it? What good is a church that we call a church, a beautiful building, if the presence of God is not in it and it is full of nothing but flesh? What good is that? Because see, church has never been about man. Church has never been about the flesh. It's been about the Spirit of the living God, and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Lord is something that the church needs again in America. Some say, let the Shekinah glory come. I believe if Shekinah glory came in the midst of the church body, it'd scare half the people to death. But I'm saying today that we need the presence of God in a building, because a building is nothing but a building without the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is what makes it different for God's people. The presence of the Lord is what sets those that are captive free. Oh, where the Spirit is, there's liberty. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit back into the churches. We've got talent. We've got all kinds of different things. But let me tell you, if it excludes the Holy Spirit of God, we are wasting our time. And we're going to find out when we stand before God in judgment that we have missed the mark. Nothing but a building. Can I tell you, you can have the best location in Amarillo and still not have God. And it can be full and still not have God. Today, I guess what's been on my heart is we need the presence of the Holy Spirit, San Jacinto. I have not been called to pastor any other church but this church. And we need the presence of the Holy Ghost in the midst of us. Oh, we sensed him this morning, but we want more of him. The presence is what makes a difference of a church body. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that calls somebody out of darkness. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that renews the mind of those that just got saved. It's the presence of the Spirit of God that drew you out and talked to you about where you were at. It's the presence of God that changes somebody's life. We need more of the Holy Spirit in the house, more of him working in the midst of us. But yet, it seems that the church in America today has chosen other methods to grow crowds. We need to forget the crowd business and get after the Holy Spirit. Sitting there, the Lord gave me three passages of scriptures that I want to share this morning. One of them you can find in Exodus chapter 33. And I think we need to make a resolve this morning. Exodus 33, verse 14. The story is Moses, and God's fixing to go forward, and God's been upset with his people. How many know God can get upset at you? God can get upset at his church, and he was upset at his people. I always loved the conversation between Moses and God. Moses, when he was upset at him, he says, "Your people." When God was upset at him, he said, told Moses, "Your people." It's like you parents, when one of the kids are not acting right, it says, "Your daughter." Y'all know what I'm talking about. And this is what it was speaking of in Moses. And finally God says, okay, after Moses pleaded for them and literally interceded. If you want to know what intercession is about, study Moses' life. Because intercession is not fun, but it's for somebody else in somebody's life. And we find after he interceded, Moses, or God told him, he says, you can go forward, but I'm not going with you. I'm going to send some pretty classy angels with you. But listen what Moses said in Exodus 33, verse 14. And he said, "My presence," God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." This is after Moses pleaded with God about him going with him, and then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from here." Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separated, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken for me." Now listen to the things that he spoke of this morning in that passage of scripture. Moses is saying, "I want your presence. If you don't go with us, God, I don't want to go." How many of you this morning have that resolve in your life? God, I want to walk through this life with your presence in my life. I don't want to go without. We should come to church saying we come to meet the Lord. Amen. I know it's fun having fellowship among all of us, but listen, we should desire the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in the midst of us, the manifestation of it. Oh, what Moses knew about God, he was a fire at the night, a pillar of fire at night, and also a cloud during the day. When they went somewhere, the world seen, here comes Israel, and God's leading them. They were separated from the world, not because of the classy music, not because of the beautiful sanctuary, not because of the army they had or the whole tabernacle they had. The people knew they belonged to God because God was manifested among them. I'm telling you today, we have Muslims, we have all types of different religions that are claiming equal power with Christianity. But I'm going to tell you, it's not our fancy buildings that's going to separate us. It's when God comes down in a powerful way and the Holy Spirit is manifested among us once again. Hallelujah. It's the power of God that says Christianity has something that the world does not have. America used to know what that was, but we no longer honor the presence of God. It is the presence of God working in you and through you that gets the attention of those that are around you. It's the presence of God working in this church and through this church that gets the attention of those outside. The presence of the Lord. It's when God moves. When God moves, I believe, now don't get me wrong, because I know some of you are tech guys and all this stuff, but I'm going to tell you today, when God moves, we don't really need much advertisement. Come on, I've heard stories of God moving so strong in a church body that there was literally like flames on the roof. I'm going to tell you, when there's a fire, people come. And when there's a fire of the Holy Spirit, people will come. It's the presence of God that makes a difference in our world. It's something that we have not had in quite some time. Oh, I hear miracles and different things, a knee healed, and don't get me wrong, I get that. But what about when someone gets up out of a wheelchair because God healed their legs and you heard the bones cracking as they come together? Oh, Pastor, you're just speaking. No, I'm not. I'm saying it still happens today. You know where it's happening at? It's happening across seas. It's happened at some of Mario's meetings. People, I'm going to tell you, when God comes, it changes the atmosphere. And I'm telling those that can't walk are walking. And God can still do miracles. I'm just saying the presence of God is what makes a difference in how things happen in the church body. The building that does not honor the presence of God is nothing more than sheetrock and shingles. I'm just saying today, that's what we need, is the presence of the Lord. Moses said, that's how they will know who we are. I don't know about you, but it seems like we promote pastors more than we do God. I hear it all the time on the radio. It'll be a good little message about the Bible, and it doesn't say if you want to know more about Jesus. It says if you want to know more about the pastor. I'm going to tell you, this pastor has not power that would even do a difference in your life, but the Holy Spirit does. It's time that we put God in the right spot again in the church. It's time that we hear His voice. Moses said, and I think it was a resolve. I believe Moses meant it when he says, unless you go with us, we are not budging. When's the last time the church said, we're not going forward, God, until you meet us in this house? Scratch all the programs, God, and we're going to meet you in the house before we do anything else, because of the presence of the Lord. My friend, I love the presence of the Lord. Oh, it's just something you can't go to Walmart and get. Amen? You know what? The price is You say it's free, the presence? No, it takes sacrifice on your part. It takes worship on your part. It takes taking that tongue that God has given you and praising Him. And the air that we breathe about, sing about in our lungs, it takes that air being used to worship Him. It is not free. You have to put an effort into it. God doesn't just show up because I show up. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we think, well, God just loves us so much we don't have to do a thing. I'm going to tell you, God wants us to do something with these vessels that He's given us. The presence of the Lord. Moses said, hey, without it, we're not going. Without it, we're not going. Just something that God's been just really stirring my heart about, if you can tell this morning. If you could just tell, this is something that's important. The presence of the Lord in the church is so important. Folks, it's more important than having a house full of people that don't even know who Jesus is, but they've been told they're going to heaven. Can I tell you, you can't get saved without the presence of the Lord. You can join this church, they don't get you to heaven. All that does is get you on my work list. Turn the car to, oh, they're good at children's, oh, they're good at that. The presence of the Lord is what makes the difference. That's what we come together for. The presence of the Lord. Another verse that He put on my heart, because, see, we can talk about the presence of the Lord, but how does the presence of the Lord, how does it happen? Turn with me, John chapter 7, verse 37, a very familiar verse that we look at. But there's something here that I believe that we are missing in the church again. Because we're living in a world, listen, we live in a world that has so many things to offer that are literally, and there's nothing wrong with many of these things, but it seems like we are busy. Can I tell you something? If the enemy can keep you busy, he loves it. You can be busy in ministry. You can be the pastor of the church and be busy about everything. And he loves that, because when we're busy, we're not working on the presence of the Lord in our life. I tell you, the thing that should triumph everything in our life is going after the presence of the Lord in our life. John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, Jesus is speaking this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirst, everybody say thirst this morning. If anyone thirst, I believe a key, because this passage, the Bible tells us, I don't have to interpret it for you. If you read it on down there just for a minute, you'll find that it speaks of this. He who believes in me, it says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, I don't need to interpret that for you this morning. But he looked at this group of people. They were going through a religious ceremony. They were pouring water over the altar, and in the midst of that, and it was symbolizing the coming of the Messiah, but in the midst of that, Jesus stood up in the midst of that ceremony that they were doing, and he says, if anybody thirst, I don't know if he whistled first. Look over here. If anybody thirst, come over here. And if you thirst, out of you will run rivers of water. And it says he was talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you this morning, church, I've seen people come to get filled with the Holy Spirit that were not thirsty. All they heard was, I need it for the second evidence of, or the evidence of speaking in tongues. It takes thirst to come after God. If we're going to see God move in the midst of us, if we're going to see God come down and we're going to see miraculous things, signs and wonders, if we're going to see God manifest himself as we come together, there's going to have to be a corporate thirst for God. There's going going to have to be a thirst in each and every one of our hearts as we come together to say, God, we're thirsty for you. Oh, God, interrupt Pastor Billy today. Come on down in the midst of this place because we are hungry for the presence of God. I'm going to tell you, I remember Debbie Wheeler, she had used to always put on the Facebook every now and then when the Holy Spirit would move, and she'd say, oh, we had a good service today. Pastor Billy didn't get to preach. And I thought, you could have worded that a little different. But what she was saying is that the Holy Spirit moved among us. We won't experience a Holy Spirit move in this church until we start to thirst for the Holy Spirit once again. I'm going to tell you, we have to be hungry for him. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, if you will but thirst. How many of you know what it means to be thirsty? We were riding horses out at my uncle's place, Uncle Pat Helton's house, and you know, over by Allison, Texas, and I was riding this big old horse, and it was hot like it's been here lately, and I was thirsty. It was all I could do is stay on the horse. I pulled my shoulder out trying to ride that thing, and because he put me on one that hadn't been rode in 2 years, and he said, hey, he's a little sensitive. I'm going, well, this old city slicker really needs like a something like a mule or something. But anyhow, he took off a couple of times. But oh, it was hot, and we come up to the windmill. You know, I've seen a lot of Westerns, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to drink out of the horse tank. I was thirsty. I refused to drink of anything but clean water. So I was waiting, and one time in the Texas Panhandle, the wind was not blowing. And we would play, blow wind, turn that fan, turn that windmill a little bit, just to have a little water come out of the pipe. I'd made my mind up I was going to drink that. Because why? I had my mind made up I was not going to drink out of the horse tank because that's just gross. I'd rather die of thirst, almost. But I'm going to tell you, I had no cowboy friends. Yeah, I just spread that moss over and take a drink. I said, you're stupid. But anyhow, I'm just saying. And I think the church needs to get the idea of when we thirst for something, nothing else is going to take its place. Nothing else is going to take its place. When we thirst for the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to be satisfied for the fleshly things. I'm not going to be satisfied with something that imitates the moving of God. I want the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about. When you thirst for the Spirit, he says when it's a genuine thirst. How many know God knows what a genuine thirst is? Amen? You may fool your wife, or you may fool your husband, or you may fool other people's in your life, but you'll never fool God. And when God looks down upon a congregation and individuals that are thirsty for God, guess what? He's going to get that lever all up in heaven, if you can just get with me for a minute. He's going to get that lever in heaven when he sees there's a thirst in the congregation of San Jacinto, and he's going to open it up. We used to have a semi-truck that we'd put a portable tank out, and we can empty that whole tank out in one pull. It would just run like a river into that tank. I'm saying today, that's what Jesus is saying. When he sees genuine thirst in your heart for him, when he sees genuine thirst for the Spirit of the living God, he's going to open the valve, and it's going to run down in the midst of us, and we're going to experience that water running out of our stomach, and it's going to, listen, I have found this out. When you got a gusher going on, it touches people's lives. Come on, it doesn't. How many of you have I do some plumbing myself, unfortunately. But I'm just too cheap to hire somebody. So I'm under the house, you know, getting bit by spiders because I don't want to pay a plumber. Just rather pay the doctor. But I'm going to tell you, when you got a leak in the house, it just runs all over that house. And you go, oh, shut the mouth. We had this women's bathroom. And every now and then, because I don't know where we got those cheap faucets at, I probably bought those things. But I'm going to tell you, one of them came off. I think it was Carletta. That water was going up to the ceiling, busted the light bulbs, running in there. And I'm saying, oh, we got a gusher. I'm trying to get ready to preach and also not just get under there and find that the water valve doesn't shut off like it's supposed to. It was a mess. But I'm telling you, that's what it is. When God truly sees individuals that are thirsty for Him, thirsty for the Spirit, when that water runs over, it's not just going to be contained in you. He says it runs out. Church, it runs out of San Jacinto. It's going to touch those that we work with. It's going to touch those that we live next to. It's going to touch those that we rub up against in Walmart or wherever you go. It's going to touch somebody's life. That's what it speaks of. We need to thirst for the Spirit of God in our lives. I'm going to tell you, it brings healing. It brings energy. It brings forward motion in a church when we thirst and the Holy Spirit's poured out upon us. We're just eating the wrong stuff. I for a few days, I went without sugar. Maybe 2 weeks. And I noticed that when I started eating the proper stuff, I had more energy. I lost a few pounds. I felt different. I'm just saying today, I think the church is feeding on junk. And we're feeding on sugar. Watered down sweet little messages or all this stuff. It's time that we cut the sugar out and time we get serious about God once again in the church. Oh, the presence of the Lord. I know the presence of the Lord is what we need in the house of God. Amen. Why waste our time? If God's not going to meet us here, why waste our time? Amen. Because that's what we come together for. We come together and for God to meet us in our life. Because here's the benefit of this. When we all thirst, we benefit individually in our own homes and our lives. Because the Spirit starts to flow out. Oh, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's time that we understand we need the Holy Spirit once again. You know, it's thirsting. Sometimes when we thirst, we need to put what we like the most on a fasting mode. Don't get quiet. Sometimes we need to start fasting and praying for God to move. We need to put those Twinkies to the side. That chocolate ice cream, Rocky Road with the marshmallows and the nuts in it. Oh, some of that stuff that our bodies crave for. Because why? You need to put the flesh where it needs to be. It needs to be in a negative mode when it comes to walking in the Spirit. Come on, we need to neglect the flesh and pay attention to our spiritual life. When we start fasting and praying, it isn't just because I preach a message I feel like God wants me to preach this morning. It's not going to change this church. It's when the church and I make our mind up that we are thirsty, that we want more of God. Then we do the things of this world. More of God than the things of this world. He says that in John 7:37. He says that on that last day, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I love it. He's not just going to say, hey, I want you to be thirsty. He says, come to me and you will drink. That says a promise in that passage of Scripture. Come to me and you will drink. Because God, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen. We need the presence, people. We need the presence of God. I think it doesn't matter whether we're at 400 North Georgia or if we move over. I've been looking at a building over there. I'm just 2.1 million short. Anybody want to slide that in my hand? We'll try to get it to the building. Just kidding. But it doesn't matter. You can spend $2.1 million on a building across the town. It's over there by where Oliver works or used to live. But it doesn't matter. You need the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you this morning? God poured His Spirit out upon an old shack in the early 1900s on Azusa Street, a place that was abandoned, worthless, and God chose. Why? Because somebody was thirsty for God. That preacher would put his head in a box and pray, just up on the platform, seeking God, a black man at that time. Praising and seeking God, and others joined him. And before you know it, there was people from all around the world going to the Azusa Street revival. I'm going to tell you, it messed culture up. It messed denominations up. Come on now, we need to stir something up. Because we are so fine-lined in everything between races. And I'm going to tell you, all that the government and all this world's been throwing at us, we need to get past it through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit does not have these lines. There were white folk, black folk, and all kinds of different races that were worshiping God together. And God was pouring His Spirit down on them. You know what that sounds like? The Spears used to sing a song. That sounds a little bit like heaven to me. Woo-hoo. How many are waiting to get to heaven? You want to go today? Some of you said, no, I got a roast on. I'm going to tell you, heaven's got that. Because if you look in the Bible, it says of all tongues and nations. You want to know what God wants? He wants all of us. The Spirit of God. Here I'm about out of time. Which clock y'all want me to go on? I'm going to tell you, you know, we need the presence of the Lord. We really do. I want you to think about this just for a moment. Unity is a must. Unity is not an option when it comes to a body having the Spirit of God come in. It's not an option. I'm just going to tell you this morning, if I can find the verse. It's in the Bible. It's what happens when I don't have my iPad to preach. But these are some that God gave me while I was sitting there worshiping Him. Listen to what this says. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me say it again. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the running on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. Unity. If there's anything the enemy tries to do more than anything else is to drive wedges between relationships. I've been in this long enough that I know that sometimes we get crossed at one another. Let me ask you, have you ever been upset at somebody in the church? Raise your hand. Three of you. Wait a while for the rest of you. I'm going to tell you this morning, that happens. It happens. If I was to say how many times I've been upset with somebody in the church, I'd have to raise both hands. And like John Cloyd would say, take off your shoes also and use those to count. But I'm just going to say it happens. But here's the thing is, God has given us the Scripture to get things back right. He has not gave us a Scripture one to say, let's just go on in life and ignore one another. If we want unity, if we want the Spirit of God to be poured out upon us, unity has got to be in the church body. They were unified in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room, praying together, 120 of them, and the Holy Ghost came down upon them, and at that moment started a movement that would rock the world. No text messaging, no Facebook ads, no media, no live stream. All it started out with a group of people that were unified in prayer, and the Holy Ghost came out in the midst of them. And he took them. He didn't keep, listen, I think the Pentecostal churches need to get a hold of this too. He didn't keep them in that upper room, but he blew them out into the streets, and they started to preach the gospel in languages they didn't even know, and 3,000 people were healed. Oh, we need to get outside the walls. If we're full of the Spirit, we need to be telling somebody. Unity. They tell them not to preach the name of Jesus later. Don't use his name. You know what they did? They had a prayer meeting. They sent I don't even know how they talked to each other. I was going to make up something. But anyhow, they talked to one another. They had a meeting in a room. And for you people that have a problem with a church meeting in the building, then I'm going to tell you, the church met in the building for years, has always met in a building, and we meet out in the streets. I get that. We meet in houses. They met. And they had a prayer. The upper room seemed to be the place they would go to. And they prayed, God, you heard them, and they threatened us not to preach. But now extend thy hand in the name of your holy son, Jesus. And the Bible said, what? The Holy Ghost came down upon them again. Why? In unity and thirst. And the place shook, the foundations of the house. And God moved again in the church body. Every time the church hit a wall, folks, I believe we've hit a wall in America in the church, and the only thing's going to move the wall is not turning the lights down, another lightning show, or fog coming out of the platform. I believe the only thing that's going to move in the church once again through the wall is the Holy Spirit moving in the midst of us once again. I believe it with all my heart this morning that God is wanting to do something in the church. Why is that, Pastor? Because God said these words, that none should perish. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing that keeps a person from perishing is when they receive the true word of God and accept Jesus as their life. We need it today. We need it. Musicians, would you come? I think I'm out of notes since I didn't have any. God is just as hungry as we are to pour his Spirit out upon us. How many believe that this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Amen.